Deflation in the 1930s. The 1930s slump is a crucial lesson in capitalism's weaknesses, shaping Keynesian policies. Research shows the Federal Reserve Board's inaction worsened the depression. Monetary issues aggravated the situation. The Fed's failure to address the shrinking number of dollars in circulation deepened the depression, turning a brief recession into a long-lasting crisis. Deflation causes economic instability by shrinking the money supply. This affects the real economy, as falling prices signal reduced profitability. Rising prices encourage more activity in production, while falling prices slow them down. During deflation, it's challenging for businesses to differentiate between their price drops and a broader systemic price decline. This confusion can mimic the struggles of an individual uncompetitive enterprise, affecting all businesses simultaneously. The static nature of deflation sends misleading signals to businesses, prompting them to slow down and reduce their operations. The monetary collapse during the Great Depression exacerbated these issues, creating a business environment that discouraged growth and expansion. Money can exert a distinct and independent influence when it gets out of order. The Federal Reserve's role in the Great Depression. In the 1910s and 1920s, Chairman Benjamin Strong led the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. However, his early death in 1928 created a leadership vacuum. The subsequent power struggle between the New York Fed and the Federal Reserve Board in Washington, D.C., led to a response that was hesitant and small. In the main, it stood idly by and let the crisis take its course. In 1931, when Great Britain left the gold standard, the Fed raised interest rates out of concern for the U.S. gold reserves. This decision, based on faulty information, worsened the already struggling economy. Research later showed that America's gold reserves increased during this period. The depression was primarily an American problem, exacerbated by the Fed's adherence to the gold standard. If the Fed had acted according to the rules of the gold standard, it would have injected more money into the economy. The existence of the Fed as a lender of last resort provided a sense of security to larger banks, preventing them from resorting to extreme measures seen in the 1907 crisis, which had saved smaller banks. Keynesian policies and economic behavior in the 1970s. The Great Depression and World War II seemed to support Keynesian economic policies, leading the Fed and the U.S. government to deviate from sensible monetary practices in later years. Today, at the slightest hint of a recession, there are calls for increased government spending to tackle unemployment, as taxation is unpopular and believed to harm job creation. The Fed often resorts to borrowing and essentially printing money to address economic shortfalls. Initially, inflation can benefit businesses by making them appear more competitive due to rising prices. This illusion encourages them to expand. However, this effect is temporary. Over time, as executives become aware of inflation, they adjust their behavior and contracts to account for it, diminishing the initial positive impact. In the 1970s, governments were reluctant to acknowledge that printing money was the main driver of stubborn inflation. Instead, they blamed external factors and imposed ineffective measures like price and wage controls. However, history has shown that these measures only harm the vulnerable. In reality, inflation is primarily caused by government monetary policies, reflecting the imbalance between the quantity of money in circulation and a country's economic output, the influence of special interests in politics. Certain groups' interests can dominate over others in the U.S. political system, leading to outcomes that may not align with the overall public interest. These powerful constituencies, known as special interests, often have a strong impact on policymaking. Average citizens, who may not feel strongly about these issues, often overlook the small amounts they contribute to these special interests. Special interests are willing to invest in lobbying efforts, especially when public funds are involved. However, this lobbying is often seen as pure waste for society as a whole. For instance, professional groups may advocate for strict certification processes not to protect the public interest, but to limit competition and maintain high prices. Similarly, trade unions, while claiming to represent the entire working class, may end up benefiting only the higher paid workers. Their actions, such as demanding higher wages, can lead businesses to automate and downsize, negatively impacting the unemployed and non-union workers. The impact of protectionism on free trade. Despite the consensus among economists in favor of free trade, protectionist measures remain prevalent. Industries facing challenges, including those with domestic monopolies, often seek government protection against foreign competition, leading to higher prices for consumers. However, the individual impact of these price increases is often overlooked, as consumers may only lose a few dollars each, and the export industry may suffer without making much noise. Special interests tend to disguise their self-serving agendas as actions in the public interest. By reducing protectionist measures, countries can promote capitalism abroad. Instead of providing aid grants, which can be seen as promoting socialism, the U.S. should focus on creating a more open trading environment to encourage entrepreneurship. This approach also avoids the potential conflicts that can arise from international tariff negotiations in a protectionist world. Free trade not only benefits economies but also promotes a more objective and less confrontational foreign relations stance. Challenges of government expansion. The size of the American government has grown too large due to the influence of various special interests and misguided full employment policies. Society needs to limit government involvement to areas where it can be most effective, ensuring that the government remains a servant rather than becoming a master. High tax rates, similar to those seen in the 1970s, can lead to increased tax avoidance behavior, eroding public respect for the government and the legal system. Despite good intentions, government policies often fail to achieve their desired outcomes. Many people still view the government as the solution to societal problems, even though programs often benefit only middle-class individuals who are adept at navigating the political scramble for funds. Increasing welfare payments to the poor can have negative effects, such as undermining the family structure and reducing charitable activity. Focusing excessively on ensuring equal outcomes can hinder the development of talent and impede individual success. This misguided approach might suggest that youngsters with less musical skill should be given the greatest amount of musical training. As the government expands, its various branches often pursue conflicting agendas. For instance, while one group of officials may work to reduce smoking rates, another department might simultaneously offer subsidies to struggling tobacco farmers. Government regulation and market dynamics. The growth of government and the influence of special interest groups have sometimes overshadowed the benefits of the market system. Capitalism's choice-driven approach has led to significant improvements in the lives of average workers since the 1800s. However, inequality is inevitable due to differences in ability, and positions of privilege are subject to continued attack by other ambitious people. Government attempts to regulate markets and prices have often backfired. Trusted brands and retailers, motivated by competition, often do a better job of ensuring product quality and safety than government oversight. For example, during the oil shocks of the 1970s, U.S. government price regulations on gasoline imports led to long queues, a common outcome of socialist planning. Prices in a market system convey important information, and when the government interferes with this system, it can lead to shortages or surpluses. In the pharmaceutical industry, regulation can have unintended consequences. Regulators, overly cautious about safety risks, may delay the approval of potentially life-saving medicines or stifle innovation. This results in high development costs and little incentive to tackle specialized medical conditions, ultimately not serving the best interests of the sick. Simplification of special interest influence. Different perspectives shape how special interest arguments are perceived, making unanimous or objective conclusions rare. What one person sees as free speech, another may view as hateful incitement. Similarly, one person's selfish special interest could be seen as a necessary remedy for another facing historical injustices. To end endless debates over which special interests are valid, society should consider a blanket rule: bundle all special interests together and eliminate them. By removing these distortions, we can let the free market operate freely. This approach treats special interests as an all-or-nothing concept, much like free speech. Without special interests influencing the economy and politics, the government can return to its role as an impartial umpire rather than an overbearing parent. The importance of protecting individual freedoms, even from a government elected by the majority, is emphasized by the U.S. Constitution. If an elite did not have the right to impose its will on others, neither did any other group, even a majority. While the government is democratic in terms of widespread participation, it should not rely solely on majority rule. To safeguard against special interests and ensure stable public policy, additions to the Constitution could be beneficial. For example, an economic bill of rights could help protect against government overreach and promote free trade. This could include provisions to prevent wage and price controls, ensure fair access to professions, simplify taxation, and impose limits on government borrowing and money printing. By strengthening constitutional protections, society can ensure that individual rights are upheld and that government actions are in the best interest of the people. Key points. 1. Deflation worsened the Great Depression, showing the importance of stable monetary policies. 2. Special interests influence government actions, impacting economic outcomes. 3. Government expansion can lead to unintended consequences and hinder individual achievement. 4. Market dynamics often outperform government regulation in ensuring product quality and safety. 5. Simplifying approaches to special interest influence can promote a more balanced economic system. 6. Strengthening individual rights through constitutional protections can safeguard against government overreach